Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, I am excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Are you excited about Jesus?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't he good? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you, but man, there ain't nothing compares to just worshiping God in the presence of the Lord, just coming and touching your heart. Man, I can think of the best times that I thought I was having good times, partying and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you, it does not compare. Yeah. There is nothing compares to Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the Lord, man.
Yeah.
I hope you're excited today. I'm excited today.
Yeah.
God is good. If you're not excited about Jesus, change your vantage point.
Yeah.
Change your vantage point. Because you look a lot different up here than you do down here. And sometimes you need to come over here and change your vantage point. Because he's good. He's good. He's alive. He's alive. It's okay to be exuberant and expressive to the Lord. One of these days we're going to do the teaching of the seven Hebrew words for worship. And I mean, it talks about clamorously, foolishly dancing before the Lord. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, what's gotten into Pastor? Jesus! How about that? Yeah! He's a good God. He is a good God. So in light of that, we're going to look at the book of Lamentations today. The weeping prophet Jeremiah. Oh, he's still good. And that's what we're going to find out. Aren't you thanking God today that he never gives up? Aren't you thankful that he never gives up on you? I don't know about you, and I've said this many times, but if there was a gift of knucklehead, I had it. Some of you are saying you still got it. But I had that gift. But thank God he looks past that. He looks past your flaws and he looks to your heart. That's the God we serve. Thank God he just saw a desperate kid that was just in all the wrong stuff that you could ever imagine. And he looked down at my life and he just spoke life. He didn't look at me and say, he didn't look at all the things I'd done wrong. He didn't look at all of that. He just saw a person who had treasure in them that was living a life that they were never created to live. And he redeemed me, and he's still redeeming me, and he's still redeeming you. Every single day that we live is an opportunity to let the love of Jesus shine in us and through us. Doesn't that give you hope? Just what we sang about, the living hope of Jesus. I'm so encouraged today. I hope you are, and I hope today, you know, you might be here, and maybe you haven't been here in a while, but I pray that today would just be a time that Jesus would just minister to your soul today and lift you up today. You know, I ran into somebody, and he just wasn't into all the praise the Lord, hallelujah. In fact, he told me that it was disrespectful to say praise the Lord. And I said, well, it's like that old thing. If loving Jesus is wrong, I don't want to be right. You know? And it's the same thing. I said, well, brother, okay, God's got to do some more work. I just looked at him. I said, dude, you need to read your Bible. You know, because praising the Lord, man, have you ever just taken a look at when they would get together as believers? Do you really want to know what was going on in that upper room when they were just pursuing God together and praising and lifting up their voices in one accord to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You see, it was amazing, and it's okay. Everything decently and in order, amen? But harmony with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay, enough of that. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, 31 through 32. And this is the prophet Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet. And today, the message that is really on my heart is that it's never too late. Okay? Despite how things might look, It's never too late. Okay? It says this. Jeremiah, I'm just going to go ahead and read this, the scripture here. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Can we say hope together? Hope. "Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Isn't that good news? And then Jeremiah goes on to say, "Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And then in verses 31 through 32, it talks about this. It says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. He will show compassion according to the multitude of His mercies." Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Father, it's my prayer today that You will add to the reading of Your Word. It's my prayer, God, that You will bring life to situations that may seem hopeless. I pray that we would come away knowing that You never give up on us, Lord God. You never give up on people. That You see treasure, God, where we don't see treasure. And it's my prayer today, Jesus, that You alone would receive all the glory in the house today, Jesus. Because You are truly the only one that can change and redeem a heart and a life, Lord God. Only You. There's nothing that I can do. I pray that my words, God, would simply fall to the ground. And that the only words that would come and resonate in the hearts of Your people today would be Your words, Holy Spirit. So we just pray for Your anointing. We pray that, Father God, today You would be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, and we all said together, amen. 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 The Lord will not cast off forever. Sometimes we feel like we're wondering, Lord, when's this ever going to end? It ends, all right? In Jesus. Have you ever said to yourself, it's too late? Anybody ever said that? You ever said it's too late? Okay, never. Okay. It's too late. Too late to purchase a ticket. Usually there's a deadline when you're going to purchase a ticket, right? It's too late. We missed the sale at Jacques Penney. All right? That's J.C. Penney. Ha, 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 ha. It's too late. I missed my doctor appointment. All right? We don't like to do that because then we get those little annoying notes in the mail or maybe a phone call. You missed your appointment, so on and so forth. It's too late. I missed my nail appointment. Now, that is catastrophic for you ladies. I understand that. All right, and pedicures and all that, man, you do not want to miss that appointment. It's too late. I missed fill in the blank, okay? Sometimes we can see deadlines and we can see things that are all around us and we could say it's too late. Let me give you a little bit of background into this scripture that we just read, okay? This is Jeremiah the prophet. Lamentations is really describing the death of a city, okay? This was a once proud Jerusalem that was now reduced to rubble by invading Babylon, okay? The prophet Jeremiah, he's expressing his heart over the death of this once flourishing city. He was devastated. This was a city that was devoted to the Lord. He's weeping, okay? He's weeping over the consequences of the sins that she had committed, she being Jerusalem. He outlines the events that have taken place, and he comes to the reality that the Lord has lifted his hand of blessing, okay? And he's reeling from this. He's weeping over the city. He's really distraught because of how sin came over. And there were consequences that came in as a result of that sin. As a result of this city turning their backs on God and letting other gods in. He was faithful, however, to always speak the words of life. You will find this to be true about Jeremiah.
words that called Israel back to God. But despite his pleadings to surrender, you know, and turn back to God, Israel still went their own way, didn't they? He was despised at times. He was even persecuted. Sounds like somebody else we know. By his own countrymen. His words at times were very direct, all right? They might have even seemed harsh to some. But I will tell you this, you can always find about Jeremiah. They were always bathed with tears of compassion. His heart was not to see the judgment inflicted, but his heart was to see the people turn back to God. And I believe that is a word for all of us as Christians. We can sit and judge and cast fiery daggers at the world. But I believe that we need to have a fresh lament come to our hearts. We need to have the lamentations of tears renewed in our lives for a city that has not, and not just Canton, but the cities of the lives of the people around us in all facets of life. We need to have a resurgence of that. Can we say amen to that? Listen to some of his words here in Lamentations chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says this, "Jerusalem has sinned gravely. Therefore, she's become vile. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. Her uncleanliness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny." Boy, I mean, we could preach that right there. There's so many times, you know, we can get into, we can make decisions to fall into sin. And I remember the time when I was very young and took that first drink of alcohol. I had no idea where that was going to lead. Sometimes we don't consider the destiny of that choice when we're young because we're foolish. Had I only known that it was about going to destroy my life, maybe I would have reconsidered, but I wasn't thinking that way. I was young and alive and full of vigor and energy, and boy, we were just going to take on the world, and that was just the world that I was a part of, never even considering the ramifications of that decision, you see? You could talk to my wife, and she will tell you the horrors of alcohol. She will tell you how it nearly took her life out. You could talk to many of us in here, and we've been down that path. Or drugs. Or maybe it was just that time that you were with that person and you were in love. And oh, it just feels so good. And then you crossed over and it changed your life forever. And you gave in to sexual temptation. See, we don't think about that when we're young, do we? We don't think about it when we're on the internet and we're supposedly innocently searching and all of a sudden something comes up to tempt us and we click on that and all of a sudden that one click opened the door to a world of pornography that was going to be an addiction for a lifetime. There's so many people. See, friends, we don't talk about this enough in church. We really don't. Because God has a lot to say about it. We need purity in our lives. And we need to, you know, I want to share this with you just real quick. If you're struggling with these types of decisions in your life, I will tell you, freedom is found in pursuing Jesus. It's not found in necessarily, yes, we have to close the doors, but it's not always found in, I say no to this, and no to this, and no to this, and no to this. What it's found in is, yes, I'm turning my back on that, and I'm now pursuing something new in my life. That's the essence of walking in the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of your flesh. Because the Bible tells us that your flesh will always want to do what is contrary to the Spirit of God. Don't be surprised. When you're operating in your flesh, you will want to look at those images. When you're operating in your flesh, you will want to return to drinking or cigarettes or whatever it is God has set you free from, you see. Yeah. And I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling in those areas, the freedom comes as you pursue Jesus. That's where freedom truly comes. There's a huge difference between running away from something and running to something. When you're running to something, you're not sitting there looking in the rearview mirror all the time. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. One can certainly understand Jeremiah's dilemma. I think we all can. I mean, he was a righteous man. He was trying to live for God. He was trying to speak for God. He's trying to, you know, he was really just trying to encourage the people to turn back to God. We need his blessing on us. And now here's the city of Jerusalem in ruins, and it's been ravaged, and it's just in rubble now. We can understand that his heart is overwhelmed. Yet despite this incredibly sad picture, he never says it's too late, does he? He doesn't. He describes all kinds of things, the consequences of the sin and all of how the enemy has come in and ravaged. But he never says that it's too late. In fact, what he does is he reminds himself out of his relationship that he has with Jesus of a thought. And that thought was this: because of the Lord's mercies, okay? Because this is who you are, God. Because I know that you are a God of mercy, that you're a God of compassion. And I know, God, that your compassions, they never, ever fail. And over this city that he's weeping for, over the situation that seems so desolate and in ruins, he speaks something out to over this city. And he says this. He says, "Great is your faithfulness." Some of us need to look, just like we sang in that song, "Great is the chasm," right? The dark seems very dark, and some of us need to speak into that night of our lives. Great is your faithfulness, God. Great is your love, God. Great is your compassion. Great is your mercy, God, because that's who you are. And it's time that we quit cowering to the pressures of society and we stand up as the household of God and say, "Great is our God. Great is his faithfulness." Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good. David in Psalm 51, according to his mercy, what David was crying out in the midst of his most horrendous sin. Do you understand that when Nathan the prophet came to David and exposed David, if you haven't read the story, it's just a powerful, powerful story of God's forgiveness and his love for David. But David in Psalm 51:1, he appeals to the mercy of God. And he said, "God, because of your great mercy, because of your compassion, have mercy on me, Lord." He appealed to his mercy. And you right now might be in a situation of sin. You might be in a situation where you're overcome with something in your life. You can always appeal to the mercy of our God because that's who he is. I think sometimes the church has portrayed God as an angry God. We portrayed him as a God who just is waiting there to just put the hammer on you. Friends, God is standing there. Look at Luke 15. Read the story of the prodigal son. While he was out in the pig pen, the father was standing on the porch, looking on the horizon with open arms waiting for him to come home. That's the picture of God that we need to communicate to this world, friends. For too long, we have made people think that it's all about dotting all the I's and getting all the T's crossed. And I'm not giving anybody a license to just go out and sin. In fact, Paul said what? Forbid it not. We can't do that. That's not why we do it. So grace could abound more. That's foolish thinking. We serve God out of the love that we have for him. But we as his people need to be in a place that we are communicating the love and the heart of a faithful father. I hope you understand my heart in that. It's never too late. His compassions, they never fail. David appealed to the mercy of God. And Jeremiah, out of the relationship that he has with his Lord, he speaks these words. And he says, because your compassion never fails, God, because of your mercy, we are not consumed. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Listen to Psalm 100, verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can we all say all generations? All generations. Let's do it again. All generations. Does that include us? Yes. All generations. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who He is, right? He doesn't change. He doesn't change. And His faithfulness endures to all generations. I find great comfort in that. His mercy endures forever. Look at Psalm 136. I'll just read a few of these to you. I think this is just powerful. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. It's never wrong to love. It's never wrong to extend mercy because His mercy endures forever. You can read through that. It'll lift you up and encourage you. Let the Word of God wrap around your heart in such a way that it literally begins to just bathe it in His love and in His mercy and compassion. It will change you from the inside out. See, we can learn a lot from these scriptures. The Bible's clear that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the same God that Jeremiah appealed to. He's the same God, this is for us today, that had mercy on wayward Israel. He's described as patient. He's described as kind. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen? He's the one who gave mercy when none of us deserved it. None of us deserved His mercy, but yet He gave it anyway. He's the one who came in the flesh and dwelt amongst us. You know, you and I, we can survey the landscape today, can't we? We can all so easily get entangled with the ideas of a fallen society and world, can't we? A fallen nation, if you will. And how sad it is today what our nation has come to. It doesn't take long. All you have to do is check out a few of the headlines. And I think it's so sad how the political arena has become a cesspool of filth. And I'm talking about wherever you look. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or anything in between. The bottom line is that system is not going to provide what's needed to repair the issue of the heart. And that system is not going to repair the heart of our nation. In fact, Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And beware the leaven of Herod. Those were the two things, the two systems that Jesus was saying beware of were the religious system and the political system. And it runs through today. We have to be cautious of this because there's a religious spirit that tries to get a hold of people. It tries to grip them and it tries to put shackles on people, even when they're trying to just work out their salvation and live for Jesus. We don't need that spirit. We don't need the political spirit that was so prevalent even in the days of Jesus. I mean, how corrupt a system that sent Jesus, who never sinned, a completely innocent man, to the cross. And it's the same system, it's the same spirit that's in the system today. Friends, the only thing that's going to change it is Jesus. Now, I believe that we need godly leaders. I believe that we should pray that God would put godly leaders. I believe that we need to pray for our president. When's the last time you actually prayed for President Trump? When's the last time you ever prayed for whatever political position you are? I could care less. But when's the last time you ever prayed for our state senators, for our state legislators? When's the last time you prayed for the cabinet? When's the last time you prayed for our judges? And if you're like me, I don't do it nearly often enough. In fact, what I do more often than anything is criticize. And I can get into debates with people over things, and I try not to. But all you have to do is come up for coffee with us one morning, and I'm telling you, Bill's stirring the pot up there every time. You see what I'm saying? The answer is not in those systems. The answer is in the kingdom. It's in Jesus. I was having a conversation with another pastor in town here last weekend. And he had just gotten back from a trip to Hungary. He spent 10 days over there. This is a so-called nation that's not open, okay? They literally had them come into the school systems and preach the gospel to the students, okay? Over and over again, they came in and they read the Word of God, they preached the gospel to them, and they received it with such gratitude. They recognized that they needed what was in the Word of God in their schools and in their kids' lives. And then he made the statement, and then I came back to the land of the free. And I just got a kick out of that, and we just laughed, you know, we were just sitting there. And I said, yeah, the land of the free, where you can bring every polluted message into the schools except for Jesus and the risen Christ, you see? Except the one that will actually bring hope. And we could be very discouraged in that, friends. But it's never too late. You see, we can look at an individual's life. We can look at our nation and we can say that it's too late. We can look at an individual and say that, well, they're too deep into drugs. They're never going to get out of that. They're too deep into alcohol. They're never going to get out of that. And we could say, oh, the drugs have affected their mind. They're never going to be right again. Well, or they're too bitter. They're too unforgiving. They're too unloving. They're evil. They're too set in their ways. They're too young. They're too old. Stop! Stop! You see, with Jesus, He crosses all of those boundaries. Those are all limitations that you and I put on individuals and people. We look at people's lives and we say, well, they've heard the gospel before. They're never going to get it right. Or they've just got this rough exterior. Can I tell you right now that some of the roughest exteriors of people, you know why they're that way? It's just this shell that they wear. And if you can just peel back that shell a little bit, you'll realize how tender they are on the inside. I have seen some of the people, they just seem like they're just rattlesnakes, man. And they're just out there and they're just going to bite and everything. But I've also seen them, if you take time to get to know them, the tears begin to come. Because on the inside, they're wounded. And they just need somebody to help them unpack that in their lives. Are we willing to look past the obvious? When did we ever become judge and jury of an individual soul? When did we ever become that? In fact, the Bible teaches us that there's only one that is equipped to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and that is God Himself. You can look at Jeremiah 17:10, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. We know this one. I remember this all the time. I used to hear sermons on this. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. You and I are always sizing one another up. In fact, some people, let's just be honest, you size me up because I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans today. It's true. I tested it. You know why I don't wear the same thing every week? Because I don't want you to ever think that it's about clothing. What are you going to do when I wear shorts? Oh my gosh! It's not about that. It's not about the outward appearance. I believe in looking nice.
I don't think we have to just roll out of bed and just, hey, what's up, you know? I believe it's good to brush your teeth and comb your hair, take a shower and do all those things and look nice and presentable and do things with excellence. In fact, I got two of these t-shirts. My wife made me wear the new one. I actually like the old one because it's more comfortable. But the new one looks better. By the way, you can get one of these. Just sign up at the Welcome Center or talk to Nikki. But see, that's not what it's about. It's not about the outward appearance. And all too often, we write people off. Sometimes we even write ourselves off. Well, I've stumbled again. I just can't get it right. I was just talking to a man yesterday. It just broke my heart. It was after I left your place. I ran into another guy. And I hadn't seen him in a while. And I talked to him, and I said, man, where you been? And he, you know, he's just, whatever, it's just one of those things. He said, I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to get it right. I said, listen. I said, none of us have it right. None of us. Some of us have gotten some victory over things, okay? But don't let that be the thing that keeps you out of church. Don't let that be the thing. That's not what it's about. You don't take you don't get cleaned up to take a shower, you know? Come as you are. Remember that old song, Just As I Am? Yeah. Come as you are. God is the one that can do the cleaning up. Friends, we just need to love the ones that God sends our way. Yeah. If we have breath in our lungs, there's hope. Yeah. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late for us, and it's never too late for the people that are in our lives. Well, Pastor, they've just been this way for so long. I don't know if they'll ever receive that. It's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. We are all called to be light. We are called to be ambassadors, His representatives. We are representatives of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We can't get entangled with the mindset of this world. We are supposed to be Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit empowered, Holy Spirit led people into the dark places that need the light of Jesus. And sometimes, if we're real honest, oh, we're Holy Spirit filled on Sunday morning. Woo! Yee-hoo! Oh, yeah, Jesus! Monday. You see what I'm saying? We do that. And we come around next Sunday. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Really? How was your week? Can we just be honest? Can we be transparent for a moment? Don't we all do that sometimes? You see that person in the grocery store? Oh, no. Those people that just have a sucking sound coming out of them. You're just like, oh, oh. But maybe you're the one that could help peel back that hardened crust if we're just willing to be used by God. You know, who are we to withhold His mercy? Who are we to withhold His mercy and His love for other people? Do you realize what we do when we do that? When we withhold the love of God from people? We are violating the essence of the new covenant that we claim to possess. You remember, you can go ahead and put that on if you would, Justin. We're going to bring her in for a landing. Holy cow! How can I bring it in landing now? I've never landed this early before. You guys are all like, why did he say that? The new covenant, the essence of our communion. When Jesus offered the cup, right? He offered the cup to them. It's the marriage pitcher. And He said, will you drink? And when we said yes to that cup, you see, we also said yes to the responsibility to extend mercy and love because that's what being a representative and an ambassador for Jesus is all about. Yeah, but you don't know this. He's a scoundrel. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how he beat me. You don't know how she said all these horrible things to me and treated me like I was just a dog. Well, you don't know what she did behind my back or he did behind my back. You don't know what this boss is like. It's never okay to withhold God's love. It's never okay to withhold his mercy from others. Friends, there's no justification in Scripture. You can't find it. Jesus never withheld his love. In the most horrific moment of his life, on the cross, he extended his love to a man who was hanging there with him, who deserved to die, who was guilty of crimes that deserved and warranted that. But Jesus reached out, even in that moment, to the thief on the cross and extended love and mercy. And he just said to Jesus, "Remember me. Remember me when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's never too late. As long as there's breath in our lungs, and as long as there's breath in other people's lungs, it's never too late. It's never too late. I brought my keys in here this morning. I told you it was going to make its way into the sermon. There's all kinds of different keys on this. All right? I've got my truck key. I've got a house key. I've got a couple keys to the church. I focus on those keys. I got a red key on there. And I got a blue key. Now, the red key will get me into most doors in this church. But the blue key gets me into every door. This is the master key. Doesn't matter where I go in the church, unless you change the lock on me, Bill. Doesn't matter where I go, this key will open it. My question to you today is this. Have you given this key to Jesus? Have you given him the master key to your life? Or have you just given him this key? Oh, you can come into most of the doors of my life, Lord, but that one, no. You see, the cross calls us to surrender the master key to him. And when we do so, things like this happen. What price do you put on a soul? What price do you put on a person's life? I can only tell you what Jesus did. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, for his family, for his wife, for your husband, for those in your life that don't know you, respect you. For those in your life that say things about you, that misrepresent you, greater love have no man than this. That's the answer that Jesus gave. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Following Jesus is giving him the master key. Can we stand to our feet this morning? You may be here today, and you might be in a situation where you don't know Jesus. We want to help you in that. It's real simple. You cry out to Him. You ask Him for forgiveness. And you let Him know that you can have the key, Lord. And you might be here today. You're a believer. But you know that He's got the red key and not the blue. And today, you know that it's time to give Him the blue key. So I'm going to ask you to take a step of courage today. If you're in one of those two camps, or if you just want to come with somebody, or if you just want to get close to Jesus, I want to open up these altars. Don't let the devil steal this moment from you. You know you're here today, and you need to surrender the master key. I'm going to ask you to come forward this morning. Take a courageous step. Come on. Come on. I know there's people in this church that need to take this step. I'm going to wait. These altars are open, friends. Thank you, Jesus. We're not promised a life of comfort and ease. Jesus, help us, Lord.